This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Welcome aboard, everyone. My name is Adam Ritz. This is The Adam Ritz Show. My friend Jay Baker is along with me. We're here to talk about public affairs. We'll do it in style with a smile. Hey, Jay, how's it going?
It is going well, Adam. This is one of my favorite times of the year.
It is that time of year again. We have transitioned from pumpkin spice to peppermint bark as we approach the holiday season. I want to talk about some music history here with Jay. Herb Alpert, 90-year-old Herb Alpert, has a new Christmas album out. It's on the shelves and ready for stocking stuffing. It's his third Christmas album in his career. And this one features, he's big into jazz and the horn and the trumpet. It features a Herbie-style version of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. And as we all know, that song has become the standard for Christmas songs, especially original songs. If you come up with a song that can make you a few million dollars every 12th month of the year, that hats off to Mariah Carey for pulling that off, and everybody else is trying to do that too. What is your gut reaction when I say the words, All I Want for Christmas Is You?
I would say some people, it's not their cup of tea, perhaps because they hear it too often. But for me, it reminds me of how cool the season is, what a great vocal range Mariah Carey has. And it's one of the centerpiece songs to one of my favorite holiday movies called Love Actually. Mm-hmm. So I have a different reaction to it. I like it, but I also know not everybody's going to like it.
Well, I'm with you. I love the song. It's such a great holiday hit, and it probably helps that I don't hear it for 10 and a half months of the year, and then all of a sudden, mid-November, you start hearing it in the stores, and it just makes you feel like it's Christmas time. I love that song. It's not just on the soundtrack of Love Actually. You said it's a centerpiece. It's part of the plot. It's a plot point of that movie, so... What a great holiday film that is, and congratulations to 90-year-old Herb Alpert for his latest holiday effort and for making sure that Mariah Carey makes even more money, because the royalties from that song, every time it gets played, I had heard the rumor, Jay, that she makes $10 million a year just on that song. Had you heard that rumor?
I had heard that, yes, because the way the royalty system is set up and the sheer amount of airplay, that $10 million a year is definitely possible.
Well, Herb Alpert, when I saw that Herb had a version of it, I did some digging. I wanted to know, if it was available to know how much money she makes in a year on that song. And it is not $10 million, but Jay, it is a pretty impressive amount of money. It's $3 million. She makes $3 million a year from that one song. Not only from royalties from airplay and streaming, but from merchandise. She sells, on her website, you can get a sweater that says "All I Want for Christmas Is You." You can get a coffee mug that says "All I Want for Christmas Is You." I'm sure you can get socks or anything you can think of with that phrase on it. Anytime you buy that, it's cha-ching for Mariah Carey. And that's not counting every time the song is used on the Hallmark Channel, in a Hallmark movie or in a TV show or anywhere else you would pay for the royalties to use that song. So $3 million, that's why every band and artist comes out with a Christmas album every year, because they're just hoping one of those songs becomes the next All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Aren't you, I'm thinking that Boris Bobby Pickett, who famously wrote Monster Mash, only wishes that he had instead recorded a Christmas song.
Yeah, the monster Christmas song. I think you and I could write that, and maybe that's a hybrid, like a Nightmare Before Christmas type thing. It carries through the holiday season from Christmas, from Halloween till Christmas, and you and I make $3 million every fall and Christmas holiday season. Let's do that.
Let's do that. I don't think that's asking for too much.
That sounds so easy.
It sure does. Hey, you probably, speaking of, I'm impressed that Herb Albert at age 90 still has the energy to record. He is certainly one of the great Hall of Fame musicians. But here's some good news. Listening to music after age 70 can cut dementia risk by 39%.
Oh, I totally believe that. Absolutely.
About half of Americans, unfortunately, are expected to experience cognitive decline after the age of 55. So it shows you that even at the age of 55, you start to sort of feel a little slower with some of your thought processes. Cases of dementia in the United States are predicted to double by the year 2060. Now, lifestyle choices like being active, drinking less alcohol, and addressing hearing loss, all those can help reduce your risk of experiencing dementia. But new research finds that surprisingly, just listening to music might be extremely helpful. So isn't that kind of cool? All the other ones require a lot of work, but listening to music doesn't take much effort.
You know, there was a great advertisement a few years ago where an elderly couple was slow dancing in their living room. And I wish I could remember the product, because they certainly deserve me remembering what they were selling. But it was a very emotional advertisement where the woman, it was obvious that she didn't really remember who her husband was. It was at that stage of Alzheimer's. And the husband played what we can assume was, quote, their song. And when she heard their song, she lit up and slow danced with him and remembered who he was. And it's just a very, we've heard the stories of nursing homes playing music, especially from the era from the 1940s or 1950s, for elderly people, and their toes start tapping and they start remembering. So yes, music can do that. I myself, I'll hear a song that I haven't heard in 30 years and I'll start singing every word to it. And I can't remember what happened in my morning meeting today.
Right.
But I'm remembering these lyrics from 30 years ago, and I'm like, where's this brain power when I need it or could use it?
Yes. No, absolutely. Listening to music isn't the only way to protect your brain health later in life. They also say that playing a musical instrument helps as well. And those who regularly play have a 35% drop in dementia risk. Wow. And if you can do both, if you listen to music and play an instrument, that's got the biggest impact. It's linked to a 33% decrease in the risk of dementia and a lower chance of cognitive impairment.
Wow, that is really great to hear. And it can maybe inspire you to take up some sort of musical instrument, even in your middle age. I mean, it's never
That's
too
right.
late to learn how to play an instrument. And, you know, some of these, I guess, experts you'd call them, gurus, these musical geniuses at age, you know, 19, if you hear them play and you're like, oh, I should have taken lessons when I was younger. And they didn't start till they were 9. They've only been doing it 10 years. So if you're 50... you know, start a lesson, because by the age of 60, that's 10 years later, you could be as good as that savant that you remember seeing on TV.
Yeah, and I've got a strong suggestion. If you wanted to pick up an instrument for the first time, the accordion is a very fine instrument.
That's,
and you'll get some benefit from squeezing, so you'll get a little aerobics as well.
It's a calorie burner. Those are heavy.
They're heavy. Well, heavy physically and then just heavy.
And you'll increase your agility when you run away from all the people chasing you, asking and yelling at you to stop playing it.
Yes, there will be a little bit of that. But yeah, so we kid around a little bit, but even though there is no current cure for dementia, there are strategies to help prevent or delay, according to researchers. So that is actually very good news. Also in the good news department, America is getting skinnier, and weight loss drugs may be a contributing factor. According to a Gallup poll, for the first time in more than 15 years, obesity rates in the United States have fallen from almost 40% to about 37%. So this was in 2022. They've dropped 3 years later to 37%.
And that's the first time the obesity rate has dropped. It's been on the increase.
That's the first time it's dropped in more than 15 years.
Wow. That's amazing and healthy.
Yeah, and 7.6 million fewer obese adults are walking around. The poll also suggested that 15% of women and just under 10% of men are on some of these drugs that help you lose weight, known as GLP-1 drugs.
Yeah, that's it's funny you said that. I just saw a commercial with the blonde woman that sang Rebel Wilson. Thank goodness her name came to me. Rebel Wilson does a commercial for one of these GLP-1 plans, and she refers to it. She says it works well with your GLP-1 plan. And for those of you that aren't familiar with this, you may hear somebody talk about a GLP-1 plan and not know what the heck it is. Well, that's what it is, some sort of drug, I guess, obesity, weight loss infused program. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. I guess it's obvious, Jay. I'm not on a GLP-1 program,
no.
And I should refer to Rebel Wilson.
No, you're not. The good news is it seems to be helping. So if the trend is we're getting back to less obesity, then the better. Here's, with some good news comes some bad news.
Oh, no.
Researchers are saying that it's called tech neck. It can cause long-term health problems and pain. I'm going to let you guess what you think tech neck may involve.
Well, it involves me standing up straight with my head at a 90-degree angle looking at a screen in my hand.
You absolutely nailed it. If you're on your phone a lot and you have neck and back pain, it is likely because of the way you're holding your head. Researchers are warning about pain and medical issues coming from excessive smartphone use. You and I have chatted on this show. Moderation is the key even for your tech devices. And you and I have oftentimes gone places, Adam, where you walk into a room and fully half of the people are engaged with the screen in their hand and not the people in the room.
Oh, for sure. I'll go to a restaurant and there'll be a guy and a girl at a table, and they're not even in any sort of discussion or chemistry. They're just each on their phone surfing the internets, and you might as well go to dinner by yourself. And now I'm aware that they're getting tech neck, and now they have pain and medical issues because of the tech neck.
Yeah, so it's almost a comical name, but it's a real phenomena. And they say that if something isn't done, people will be looking at early onset spinal degeneration and other issues that could last a lifetime. Now, you and I are the first to kid around. However, spinal degeneration doesn't sound good.
That is not anything I want to mess with. And when you talk about this, it's similar to when anybody says to me anyway, if I hear the word posture, I will immediately sit up as straight as I possibly can and put my shoulders back. I'm doing it right now. And same with this, tech neck. I'm immediately looking up, stretching my neck, trying to be as tall as I can because I know that's probably not good for my neck and my spinal region, my vertebrae, that whole thing back there, my neck pain, my back pain. It cannot be good for you. And now to hear a medical expert like yourself tell me the word spinal degeneration, spinal degeneration is not anything I want to mess with.
No, my first band was called Spinal Degeneration.
That's a great name for a band.
It was a great name for a band.
You guys rock. Oh, my God.
But and then I'll just leave you with this one. As if tech neck isn't bad enough, other issues related to tech neck could include difficulty chewing food as well as headaches.
You know, tech neck is another great name for a band. We need to make a concert t-shirt with tech neck, the opening band for the headliner, Spinal Degeneration.
Spinal Degeneration. They're at Bonnaroo this year, I think. That's what I heard. Here's kind of an interesting note. The penny is going to be no longer produced by the U.S. Mint. And when we've had that story before, most people won't miss the penny. But however, there's already some penny shortages hitting some retailers.
I heard that it costs more money to make a penny than it costs 1.3 cents to make a penny. So why make it?
Yeah, that is the crux of the problem. That and people like to hold on to pennies. The thought process is, hey, I'll go through them later. There may or may not be some valuable ones in here of interest to people that are holding on to large stores of pennies. Many of the really good rare pennies have already been discovered. In fact, I just read an article that suggested it's not even worth the effort to go through a big bucket of pennies because we are talking literally needles in haystacks. Because, you know, you've heard the famous, oh, this was a San Francisco mint penny, and they made a mistake, and there were 12 of them, and that we found 10 of them. And I think to myself, yeah, the other two, you're in the entire United States. That's a big space to search for the final two. But this penny shortage is happening because the Treasury Department halted penny production back in May. The U.S. Mint cranked out its last batch of pennies in August. And convenience stores, as well as major chains, are reporting some issues. As an example, Kroger, the grocery chain, has started asking shoppers paying in cash to do so with exact change. And the American Banking Association says that about 250 billion pennies are still in circulation, but notes some localized supply issues. So think about that again. Once again, the needle in the haystack, 250 billion pennies are out there, but in some places, my kingdom for a penny.
That seems so inconvenient to ask your customer to pay an exact change. I don't know anybody that would have the exact amount of change in their pocket to buy something.
Well, and that's why it sounds good. And I was the first to say, yeah, maybe we forego the penny, because I've actually seen people toss pennies to the ground because they just don't want to deal with them.
Well, and you also think about like when we were kids, Jay, you could walk into a store and you could purchase something with 10 pennies. There were plenty of items that were 10 cents, in cost.
Oh, sure.
Today, I mean, nothing costs 10 cents. There isn't anything you can buy for a nickel, for 5 cents. So having 10 pennies, 20 pennies, I mean, you'd need a jar full of pennies to be able to purchase something. So if things are getting more expensive and that's reflective upon the fact that we're not going to have pennies anymore, what year is it going to be when they stop making quarters?
Well, like you said, this could eventually result in a lot less currency.
I mean, there with inflation, there will be a day where the smallest denomination will be a $100 bill.
Well, and you know, you and I have tried to get ourselves pasted on the $3 bill, which was, you know, we put that idea in front of Congress, but we haven't heard back.
We haven't heard back.
we have not heard back. Hey, here's kind of a cool story proving that it doesn't matter how old you are if you've got the right amount of motivation. For 11 years, Michael Castle served his country in the United States Navy. Now, that ended, however, when he tore his ACL as he was entering SEAL school. In 2014, he took on a new challenge that he called the 12 Labors Project, with the focus of raising money and awareness for causes like wounded warriors and Parkinson's disease. Castle conquered the world records for, and listen to some of these records. This is a gentleman that's been around the block a few times. The most pull-ups in 24 hours.
Oh.
5,804.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you believe that?
5,000. It would take me 17 years to do 5,000 pull-ups, and he did it in 24 hours. Oh, my gosh.
24 hours. The longest sustained 250-pound tire flip. That's kind of a cross train, or what's the cross training gym that everybody gets all excited about? You don't know, so it's obviously not connecting.
CrossFit.
CrossFit. There you go. Yeah. Thank you for that. This is kind of a CrossFit phenom, but he flipped a 250-pound tire 13 miles over 10 hours.
Now I feel useless. I don't know if I could go walk 13. Actually, I could. I could walk 13 miles because I do it at Disneyland.
There you go.
But I could do it flipping a 250-pound tire. Oh, my. And it took 10 – only 10 – did you say 10 hours?
10 hours, 13 miles.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. Same person with these two records?
Amazing. Oh, yeah, same person. His latest labor consists of lunges. Now, lunges are a tough exercise. You know that. Mm-hmm. We're talking 20 hours and 39 minutes worth of them. That consisted of 4,769 lunges with the knee touching the ground over 4.6 miles.
That hurts me hearing you tell me this story. I don't like this. I don't like him.
That took two more world records for Castle. So this is a gentleman that likes to break world records of physical feats.
Yeah.
And the proceeds go to Wounded Warriors and Parkinson's research, which is great.
That is fantastic. I'd love to know what his future goals are. I mean, a guy like this has to have, there's probably 10 other records he's training for and will break.
Yeah, no kidding. But that's pretty amazing. We don't want you to go too far down the rabbit hole, but we have talked a little bit about UFOs on this show just because I think the U.S. Air Force, to the best of my knowledge, and you'll have to double check me on this,
Okay. Actually
acknowledged that UFOs probably do exist. Now, when they use probably, they said they had about 13 incidents that, quote, they could not account for, meaning that the objects in said photos or films defied what a normal aircraft would do. So they concluded that probably UFOs exist.
I don't want to say it's aliens, but it's aliens.
It could be aliens, but this is kind of almost creepy. There's a new UFO tracking app. It's called Enigma. It's logged more than 9,000 reports of strange underwater objects near U.S. coastlines.
I've been hearing more about the underwater UFOs. This is a
new thing. Yeah, it's a new thing. Both scientists and military experts are saying, yes, some of these are difficult to explain. Unidentified submersible objects or USOs. So now you got to know a little about UFOs and USOs. A mystery craft that can dive into or rise out of the ocean without making a splash or leaving any trace. And they've done about 500 reports of these objects within 5 miles of the coast, and more than 150 describe objects either hovering above the water or moving between air and sea.
Yeah, Jay, if I was an alien, that's where I'd be. If I could breathe, yeah. If I didn't need oxygen in your atmosphere, I would. Why would you go on land where all the crazy people yeah. are? I'd be hanging out in the ocean too.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I thought to myself, wow, UFOs, they're a concern, but USOs, hey, maybe, could be. This, to me, it's, you know, the ocean is kind of creepy to swim in anyway.
Oh,
now there's
absolutely.
Just one more creepy thing in the ocean. Thank you.
You get out.
You've ruined it for all of us.
You're on a cruise ship, and the captain over the loudspeaker tells you that you're in 2,500 feet of water, and you think about what could be down there. Now you're telling me there's predators down there now?
Could be critters, yes. This is kind of a cool story. Joe Walsh is cleaning house. So here's another rock star that says, hey, some of this stuff's got to go. He's teamed with Julian's Auctions for the Lifespin Goods sale of more than 800 items from his personal collection.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Now, you know that Joe, his big philanthropy is Vets Aid, which is a nonprofit charity he formed in 2017 to support a variety of national and regional veterans-based charities. And this collection is pretty cool. It includes, now, you know, because you love the way the items are, you know, as you've always said, yeah, having a Joe Walsh guitar, that's cool, but how about this? He's got guitars, cars, amplifiers, radios, stage wardrobe, and even more items.
You know what? I want this. I want this badly, Jay. I want a gold record from Joe Walsh because of the line from his song "Life's Been Good." Gold records on the wall.
See, there you go.
I want a Joe Walsh gold record on my wall in my office. And then I'll sing that song to you when that happens.
Oh, that'd be great.
Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be great. So, yeah, so this auction is happening December 16th and 17th. It will happen live in Los Angeles, but Julian's, which is J-U-L-I-E-N, will be having part of it online, as many auctions tend to go in that direction, because, you know, there's always that collector that's somewhere far away but has lots of cash.
Well, Jay, we've got about 1 minute left, and here in our last minute, I'd love for you to speculate on what the end of that list. You said guitars, radios, amps, and other items. What could be in "and other items"? Like an old pair of jeans or sneakers or personal items? I mean, what else?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a good one. What would the other items be? Would it be a guitar pick from the James Gang, which was his original band? Or would it be an old flight case, maybe from the James Gang? Or his very first record contract, maybe? Something like a recording contract? I mean, usually when they say "and more," it's items like that.
Even an old T-shirt that he wore on stage in Los Angeles Stadium when he was with the Eagles. Something like that would be so cool to have framed with a picture of him on stage in the T-shirt, and have that T-shirt hanging on your wall in your office. Gold records on the wall. All right, Jay, I'll see you at that auction, and we will be outbidding each other for the Joe Walsh gold record. If you listening at home would like to hear previous shows, you can do so in podcast form. They're all listed on our website, AdamRitzShow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit adamritzshow.com.